If you'd like, you can turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 23. If you'd like, you could just listen. In Luke chapter 23, I'm beginning with verse 26. And the scripture says, "And as they led him away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, 'Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they'll say, blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will begin to say, to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?'" The title of the message that I want to leave with you tonight is "When the Cross Changes the Agenda." Here is this man, Simon of Cyrene. And history reveals to us that he had come in from the north country, specifically in the area of North Africa. Simon of Cyrene was a Jew. And what he would do is he would take a monthly trip to Jerusalem, where he would partake in the Passover feast. This was his practice. Now, understand that the distance that Simon of Cyrene had to travel was roughly a little more than 900 miles. It was a long trip. So there was some sense of dedication for him to get to this special service, this Passover feast. It meant something to him. He was committed to it. He was committed to the journey. We got to imagine here, in this time, of course, there's no flights, no bus, no car. 900 miles is a long time on a donkey. Or a horse, for that matter. Camel, I don't know what he took. But those three different ways of transportation is pretty rough on the back. But he took it. He would go. He was committed to this particular practice, this ritual that he had. But little did he know that on this particular trip to the Passover feast, his agenda was going to be interrupted. The plans were going to change. I'm sure this was something that he did, and I'm sure he had a certain routine in the process from when he would start the journey to when he would get to the end. And I'm sure it was refreshing to come to the Passover feast and to be able to sit down with the brethren, to be able to have that time of fellowship. We all, in a sense, have a journey that we take. And when we have the journey and when we take the journey, we expect that the journey will come to an end. It's a part of our makeup and process of thinking that we have a start point and an ending point. But sometimes the ending point in our lives is not really the ending point at all. And sometimes the ending point is what you and I want it to look like and want it to be. But it's just beginning with Jesus. You see, here he is traveling for miles, and he's put some work in, and maybe he's tired when he gets to that place, and maybe it's a time to wind down and to rest. I really want to paint this picture so you understand really just what happened as he got towards the end of this journey. I know for me in my personal life, I've taken some journeys, my brother and sister. And when we go on these journeys, and when we seem like we've made it through a particular season or a particular journey, we just want to stop. We want things to end. We want to get to the next season. And we hope that the next season is better than the one that we were in. But sometimes just when we think that the journey should come to an end, we've got to go a little further. And the little further that we have to go just might be a true, genuine experience that's going to take you on a spiritual journey. And I know some of you in here, man, you've been working very hard. I know there are people in here that could tell us some stuff that they've been through. But let me tell you something. We can go on our journeys and we can press on and we can go. But we've gotten nowhere if we don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And there's nothing to brag about in regards to what you have had to go through if you haven't had an experience on the journey with Jesus. And so Simon comes to this place. I truly believe that here he comes and it is mayhem when he shows up. Everything is just all over the place. His whole route is messed up. The whole plan. I don't know if, here we are, Labor Day weekend, right? And I don't know if some of you have taken a drive through the city, but sometimes in different places as I've been driving, my route got messed up because it's just jammed up this Labor Day. And you know how you make a turn and you jump on the interstate or you get on that the Cross Bronx and suddenly you slam right into traffic on that hour that you assumed it was going to be nice and clear? And how do you react emotionally? What is going on? And here he comes to this place, frustrated. I'm sure he's just baffled by what's happening. And it's a mob scene. But what looks like a mess and what looks like seems to be out of control, it's about to be a conversion experience for Simon. There's about to be a real true awakening in his life. Now you got to understand something here, that when he shows up, suddenly here he is in the mix of everything that's happening. Some of us, we don't want to get into that mix. I just wanted to go to church. I mean, I've had a long week. I just wanted to go to church and get on out. Right? I had it all planned out. You know, I grew up down in Hampton, Virginia, where for most of us, I don't know if you've had this experience, but I grew up in a black Pentecostal church where Sunday after service, there was always an incredible fried chicken dinner, right? Are y'all clapping about church or the fried chicken? But I remember in those years, I mean, it was just a lot of us folks enjoyed getting to church. We had a routine. We had a practice. We had a habit. It was our religion to get to church knowing that we was going to have a good dinner. And God forbid we showed up to church and that chicken dinner or that fish fry dinner wasn't scheduled. You see, our time in the house of the Lord is not dependent on simply what we want or what makes us comfortable. But coming into the house of God is about a relationship with Jesus. And we've got a lot of church folk that have an agenda and have a plan, but they're missing the relationship with Jesus. Maybe even for some of us tonight, man, it's been a long week and you just thought, you know what? I've been coming here from time to time and you show up. You just want to have church and go. But I'm going to tell you something. Don't walk out of here without a relationship with Jesus. And the cross, it becomes a cross experience for Simon. Because here he is in this mob scene and scripture reveals to us that the Roman soldiers, they grab Simon and they force him to carry the cross. You see, sometimes the stuff that we're surrounded with, the wickedness, the world, the trials, the things that we're facing in life will push us into a position where we can either run away or run to the cross. In that moment that Simon's forced and he's pushed out into the open suddenly, where here he is, he comes to this place in his life where he can either try to run in fear or he can step up, stand out, and receive something new, something supernatural. It's the love and the grace of Jesus Christ. He doesn't even realize it. He doesn't even understand. But sometimes we come to this place where we're overwhelmed. Maybe some of you tonight, you're overwhelmed with stuff that you've been facing. And you feel like just with everything that's happening, you've kind of just been pushed right up in here, right? I don't know what's going on. Boy, all these testimonies and the worship and the choir and the songs and the band. I don't know what's happening. And here you are. And I want to encourage you tonight that this is your opportunity to receive Jesus Christ. Listen. Simon of Cyrene, he carries the cross. And in this moment, suddenly, church doesn't look like what he was expecting. The agenda's been changed. Scripture says that they forced him to carry the cross and to follow Jesus. He has no understanding of what's going on. There's nowhere in Scripture that reveals to us that he'd seen Jesus before. And even if maybe he did see Jesus, he'd never seen him like this. Not like this. This is not what I was expecting. I just wanted to get to church and just head out. I had it all planned. This is just my religion. Edgar said it earlier in his testimony. I was just practicing religion. It was my ritual. It was what I did. But this, I'm not sure about all of this. See, sometimes, folks, we want Jesus to look a certain way according to what makes us comfortable and according to what works. But I want to tell you something. This is a Jesus that you might not recognize, but I want to help you real quick. Simon steps out and he's carrying the cross and he's still trying to figure out what's happening. Jesus was unrecognizable. His face was swollen. The crown of thorns on his head. He'd been beaten with a stick. He'd been whipped on his back. His back was open. I can only imagine the moment for Simon as he's trying to process everything that's happening. As he's walking behind this man who he doesn't even recognize, doesn't even know. But there's this moment where the revelation, I believe, comes even more clear to Simon. Because as they're walking, Jesus turns around. Here he is, tired and weak. And the scripture reveals to us there's a crowd of people behind him. The women are crying. And the mob is here to the left and to the right. People are shouting and yelling, mocking Jesus, laughing at Jesus. And I find this moment so powerful. He turns in his love and his grace. He's so awesome, right? Because even in this great moment of agony, he's thinking about you and I. And he says this. He turns and looks at us. He said, don't cry for me. Cry for yourselves, your children. He said, don't cry for me. You know what he's talking about here? He said, let's not just get emotional. Don't misunderstand what's happening right here. Don't cry for me. I know exactly what I'm doing right now. My agenda has been the same from the very beginning. I know where I'm going. I'm going to the cross. I'm going to this place called the skull. It means death. Jesus said, don't cry for me. I'm okay. I'm doing exactly what my Father wants me to do. To go to the cross, to this place called skull, which means death. And I'm going to conquer sin and death on the cross. Don't cry for me. He says, cry for yourself, for your children. He says, there's going to come a time where you're going to say, blessed are the women that are not having children. You're going to wish that the mountains would cover you, that the hills would fall on you. You know, he was speaking prophetically, historically, that within the next 40 years, the church would go through persecution. But brothers and sisters, Jesus was speaking to us now, that even today, even now, there's a great deal of pain. There's a great deal of death. Our children are dying on the streets. Children are dying all over the world. There's a great deal of despair. Moms, grandparents, grandmothers are crying, wondering why in the world did I even give birth to this child who's so and filled with such rebellion? I can't go on. Jesus speaks to us about the mountain. You're going to wish the mountain would fall on you. We're in a time now where people just wish they would just die. They want to quit. They want to commit suicide. They don't want to live. They want to run. Jesus said, listen, he said, if they would do this to the green tree, how much more are they going to do to the dry tree? This has been a piece of scripture that many have wrestled with. I like to keep it just real simple. The green tree is Jesus. Alive, fruitful, perfect in all of his ways. Here he is on the road to Calvary. Perfect. Never sinned, but was going to this place called death to take on our sin. Die in our place. He said, I'm the green tree. Look what they're doing to me, but I'm going for you. And you're the dry tree. That's me. Dry, messed up, wicked, sinful, in need of a savior. In need of Jesus. What a revelation for Simon as he's carrying the old rugged cross. Because that sums up this very moment for Simon. As he hears and listens to the words of Jesus. The green tree, Jesus. The dry tree is me. But now here I am embracing the old rugged cross that has changed my plans. And here he is carrying it. I'm sure that old rugged cross had the blood of Jesus all over it. Now on Simon, right? As he goes, people are crying and weeping, crying out. But here's the Savior in all of his strength and all of his power. Simon has no idea where he's going. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what's happening. People are laughing and shouting on the left, mocking on the right. I feel almost humiliated, but sometimes it takes a place of humiliation to understand the restoration power of Jesus Christ through the blood that was shed on Calvary. Folks, Jesus said this. He said, if you would come after me, if you would come after me, you must deny yourself, carry the cross, and follow me. He said, if you try to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life, you'll find it. You see, we can't save ourselves. It's impossible. Your agendas, your plans outside of Jesus Christ, you can't save your life. But if you lose it, if you embrace this cross and step out from the crowd, from the bystanders, from this wide road of destruction, and if you get on this narrow road right here and follow Jesus, you'll find your life. You'll find your life. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but through me. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know which way to go. Jesus is the way to go. Embrace the cross. It's going to change your life forever. It's the walk of hope. It's the road of grace. It's the road of mercy. You might not know what's ahead of you, but here it is. It's forgiveness. It's promise. It's new life in Jesus. I don't understand it all. I just wanted to go to church and go home, but you just followed Jesus. I'm just going to let go and deny myself right now. I don't know what's going on, but I know one thing. I'm following this man right here. He's not complaining. He's not talking back. He's not saying nothing. But in all of his divine nature, as God and in his flesh, he took it all on for me. And he's going to the cross and he's taking on my sin. Simon, you might have to carry the cross, but you're not the one dying on the cross. He's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. Man, I'd like to believe whether Simon ended up to the Passover feast or not, but that brother had a conversion experience right on the road to Calvary. As the music ministry comes, and that's it, we need Jesus. We need Jesus. Listen to me on this. The picture painted here with Simon, it might not look like the Jesus some of us want him to look like, right? Some of us, we've been around a lot of different types of ideas as to who Jesus is. I remember talking to Pastor Carter one time, and he said, "Hey, Dave, you should write a skit one day. The skit should be called, 'Will the Real Jesus Stand Up?'" Right? I'm still working on it, Pastor. But we've seen the Jesus that just says, "Get rich, get rich, get rich." We've seen the Jesus that said, "Oh, blessings, blessings, blessings." We've seen the Jesus that seems to be lost in the glorification of man and buildings and aesthetics. But the Jesus I gave you is a Jesus that suffered for you and I. He suffered. He suffered. And he went to the cross. Now, here's what's so awesome. Here's what's so awesome. He rose again on the third day. He's alive. And he's my Savior. He's my Savior. I am not going to be a bystander ever again. I am not going to be off to the side. I'm not going to be consumed anymore with my agenda to get into church and get out. It is time, my brothers and sisters, to embrace the cross. The cross that Jesus died on for you and I, that who took our sins. Let's not play church anymore. If you could play, listen to me. It's time to step out and embrace the cross. I'm just going to tell you straight up, your agenda's not working anymore outside of Jesus. Could you stand up with me? The agenda's not working outside of Jesus. Embrace the cross. Embrace the cross. If it's time, and you know tonight, you with me? If you know tonight that it's just been a religion, it's just been a ritual, but you know now here is a Jesus that died on the cross for my sins. I want you to come down here and embrace the cross. I want to pray with you. I want you to step out right now and just say, I need Jesus. I need to surrender my life to Jesus. I've been going to church. I've been coming around, but I haven't embraced the cross. I just want you to come forward right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. He's here. He's here in all of his glory. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Embrace the cross. Let go of your agenda. Let go of your own plans. Receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Surrender to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you say this prayer with me? Dear Jesus, I receive you tonight as my Lord and Savior. I confess I've been on my own agenda. I've had my own plans. But tonight, change my plans. I'm no longer a bystander. I'm no longer going to stand on the outside. Tonight, I embrace the cross. I receive you, Jesus. I will follow after your steps. I confess I'm a sinner. I repent of my sins. I believe you are the Savior that died on the cross, rose again on the third day. Make me a new creature. Give me new life. Increase my faith day to day. And may the joy of the Lord be my strength. In your name I pray. Amen.
Bless the Lord. Thank God for interrupted plans. Praise God. I can see the tears, and it doesn't mean it isn't real because you don't have tears, but I tell you, if you have truly understood tonight that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, went to a cross and suffered the punishment that you and I deserved for the way we had lived apart from God, and broke the back of the curse of sin that gave the devil the right to destroy us and to send us on one goose chase after another looking for happiness. Jesus Christ broke that power of evil and promised, he said, now I'm going to give you a new heart, I'm going to give you a new mind, and I'm going to create a new spirit inside of you. In other words, you'll be, the Bible called it, you'll be born again. As if you get a chance to live all over again and start from the beginning. You'll be a new creation. That's what Brother David talked about tonight. You'll be a new creation. If Christ is in any person, the scripture says, you become a new creation. So I won't have to prove to you, we won't have to prove to you a month from now that Jesus is alive. You will know it because there'll be changes taking place that you know. You know that you can't change like this. There'll be new attitudes of heart, new desires that you don't have right now, but you will have. Because when you turn to Jesus Christ, he not only forgives you, but God says, I will come and I will make my dwelling place inside of you. And the God who created the universe by the word of his mouth says, I will change you. I will change you. I will do this for you. I will make you into the person that I had planned you to be before sin, that means rebellion against God, got into your life. I had a plan for you, much bigger, much finer than any plan that you ever had. Hallelujah. Thank God. Church is a wonderful place. But when you find that living relationship with God through Jesus Christ, my goodness, you can worship in the subway. You don't have to go to church to sing. You can sing on the street. You can sing in your car. You can sing in a traffic jam. No matter where you end up, there's something inside of you that was never there before. Only God can put it there.